I really enjoy that every year we get this festival of the baptism of our Lord, the baptism of Jesus, that kind of starts the normal part of the church year. You know, we've gone through the drama of Advent and the waiting of the birth of Jesus, of the whole Christmas season of Epiphany. You know, you've got the wise men this year. We talked about the slaughter of the innocents and the flight to Egypt and coming back, all in Matthew's Gospel, because it's that year. And there was a lot that happened in Jesus before he was born and in his birth and in his early years. And then we skip ahead to when Jesus was an adult. And we go all that way. And this is the first story. It happens in all the Gospels. The first story is the story of Jesus' baptism. It's like his coming out party. It's like his first public appearance. Now, John the Baptist has been in the wilderness baptizing people, a baptism of repentance, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of God has come near." And John is saying, "Come out here and be baptized. Repent of all your sins, because God is about to do a new thing." And he says, "The one who's coming is more powerful than I. You know, I'm not fit to change his shoes," or whatever it is, tie his shoes, something like that. And then Jesus shows up, and John's like, "What are you doing here, man?" And I think they probably know each other because they're cousins, or second cousins, I guess, but cousins nonetheless. And John says, "Well, you should be baptizing me. How am I gonna baptize you? You're the one we've all been waiting for. You're the point of this whole exercise," John says. And then here in Matthew's Gospel, of course, Jesus says, let it be so now to fulfill all righteousness. You know, Matthew's Gospel is very interested in fulfillment, in fulfilling the prophecies of old, in fulfilling what was expected through the Scriptures. And so Jesus is baptized just as everybody else, because Jesus is a person just like everybody else, even though Jesus is not just like everybody else. He's like just like everybody else plus. But anyway, here we are. And in this moment when it happens, he does this baptism. Just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. Jesus saw the Holy Spirit come down like a dove. It is unclear whether everybody else saw the dove. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." It seems like, we talked about this at Bible study last week, it seems like maybe only Jesus saw the dove, but everybody else heard the voice. Not really clear exactly how it works. But the point is that God intervened, that God showed up and named who Jesus was, publicly declared Jesus' identity. "You are my Son, Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." That's what baptism is about. It's about identity. It's about who we are, who Jesus is. When we had the children's sermon just now, of course, my son Micah decided, you know, I told the story about how when he was young and he had, you know, he had made the sign of the cross on people at baptism at this worship thing. I mean, the bishop came up and all these different people in our old synod in Michigan. And it was really lovely, and it really was just kind of him doing this on his own. You know, that was a thing that we did as a family. You know, we made the sign of the cross in the bath or whatever. We remembered our baptism in that way. And then he just sort of figured it out. And just now, he said, "Oh, that's because I'm a prophet," he says. Great. Because, I mean, he's named after a prophet, right? Micah, that's where that name comes from. So that's an identity thing, too. Right, he has that sense of, that name gives him a sense of who he is in a way that hopefully works out well for everybody. The jury's still out on that for a 7-year-old. But it seems like it's going okay so far. But he recognizes his identity in baptism. He recognizes his identity in this name. And then, of course, he had you all come up to remind you that you are a beloved child of God. You are a beloved child of God. Have you ever been one of those adults that like gets annoyed when somebody refers to you as a child of God? You're like, "Well, I'm not a child. What are you talking about?" I've done stuff like, not exactly that, but stuff like that. So I'm sympathetic to that point of view. I don't like being called a child. Maybe you all don't like being called children. And yet, in Jesus and in baptism, we are children of God. We're equal to one another. We receive the gift of baptism. Like children, there's nothing that we do to earn baptism. Baptism isn't about what we do. Baptism is about what God does, what God says. It's about the claim that God makes on us. And that's, I mean, in our church, that's why we baptize children, because God is the one that acts in baptism. And our acceptance of that, our assent to it, our declaration of faith is all secondary to God's action in baptism, because God is the one that gives us an identity in baptism. And we claim that identity received as a gracious gift, as a gift of love, as a gift of mercy and grace and forgiveness. That's the gift of baptism that we receive. Now, Jesus' baptism, as I said, Jesus' baptism, it kind of shot him into public life. People started knowing who he was. And immediately after the story, it says he goes off into the wilderness alone to be tempted, and that happens. And then he comes back and his public ministry begins. This is the beginning for Jesus. He goes off into the wilderness. It's like one last vacation, but it was the worst vacation ever. We'll talk about that in a few weeks. It'll come up in the season of Lent. But then he's on for the rest of his life. He doesn't get another day off, really. You know? This is the beginning for Jesus. This is the time when everybody starts to know the claims that God has made on him, and so the claims that he makes about himself. And it starts to make people nervous. I mean, you know, we're going to get to Easter, and more particularly, we're going to get to Good Friday. Most of us know where this story is going. We know it's not easy for Jesus to live this life publicly as a child of God, making these claims that he is beloved of God, and that God has set him apart for this particular work. It's not an easy life for Jesus. You know, like the story when, even when he's at the house and people are like, they're tearing holes in the roof so they can jump inside, so they can drop a guy inside so Jesus can heal him. You don't get a day of rest. No wonder Jesus liked to go off and pray by himself sometimes, just to get a moment of peace. He's supposed to be like, wore sunglasses and a hat. One of those hats with like no logo on it, like stars do now when they're avoiding the paparazzi. I mean, poor Jesus. People were on him all the time because of this identity, because he had begun with this public claim, and then he had to live with it. It wasn't always easy. We too, in our baptism, are claimed by God, and in return we make a public claim about who we are and what that means for our lives. I mean, the way we actually do baptism, oftentimes it's children or sometimes it's adults, but you can kind of get baptized and then kind of fade back into the background. We have that luxury that Jesus didn't have. But ultimately our baptism is similar to that of Jesus, in that baptism puts us into a new place. And I would argue that it puts us into a new public place. We get baptized in front of God and everybody, in front of the whole congregation, because it's a public act. It's one that shows that we are part of this community, and the promises that we make and the claim that God makes over us is done in such a public way that the point of everybody else being here is that we hold one another accountable to the promises we make in baptism, so that we can be the people that God wants us to be. Baptism is something best lived out in public. To love and serve God and our neighbor. To share what God has given us. To tell the story of God's love and mercy and forgiveness for us. I mean, yes, baptism is also private and it's individual and it's just for us, but it makes us part of something so much bigger. It makes us part of the whole family of God, the children of God. There's so many. Even though we don't get along with our siblings all the time, baptism is something that we do together. And it leads us into a life together. And it leads us into work together. Work for God. Work in the name of Jesus. I'm going to take this opportunity right now to tell you all about some work that we're going to be doing together. You might love it. You might not love it. We'll see what happens. But yesterday, a long time coming, we managed to have a lunch between the pastors of all the churches here. So myself, Pastor William, you know, from Good Samaritan, Pastor Rodolfo from Ebenezer Elim, and Pastor Francois from Heaven Citizenship, just on the, in the other building. They're just starting up about now. And also, Deanna Bassett is our, I call her my intern, but Deanna preached here some weeks ago, and she graduated from Luther Seminary, and she's been coming around and helping out and helping to build these relationships. So the five of us got together and we had lunch yesterday. And we thought, well, what can we do together? We talked a little bit about what we're each doing, but we quickly moved on to what can we do together. And so we talked about, you know, music on the blacktop that we do every year, the part of the National Night Out, and trying to get all four churches to have people there and to be involved and to help do some stuff. So that could be a lot of fun. We talked about this upcoming meeting in February that I've talked about on February 22nd. This, an organization called Restorative Justice Community Action is going to come and lead us in a talking circle process to talk about implicit bias, to learn about the differences between us and how we can communicate and how we can build relationships across these differences. So that's on Saturday, February 22nd, and all the churches hopefully will have people there. But then these guys got ambitious and they said, well, we want to, let's just go ahead and worship together. Let's just have worship together. And so we talked about when is the right day to do that. And somehow we came up with April 5th, which is Palm Sunday or Passion Sunday. So Palm Sunday is not going to be the usual way this year. Surprise, Nancy. It is fun. We're going to skip some of the usual songs. Because what we're going to have is all four churches worshiping here together. We're going to have a bulletin with English and Spanish and Hmong. It reminds me, I owe Justin Grimm, the DEM in the Bishop's Office, I owe him an article about holy chaos. That's what this is going to be. It's going to be holy chaos. We're going to have worship with all three languages, with all four churches together, and then we're going to have some sort of potluck meal, something afterwards. Okay, I just needed to get that out there. I needed everybody to know. It's not like directly related to baptism, and yet it is, because all the baptized are the church. I mean, that's how what we believe in the Lutheran tradition particularly. Everybody who's baptized is the church. Every bit as much as anybody else who's baptized is the church. That's like the bar for entry. Like officially, you are the church because you're baptized, and that's it. And so all these churches, even though we have different baptismal practices and different ways of doing it, and even different understandings of how baptism works, we're all the church, and we're going to be the church together. And we already have three things we're going to do together this year. It's going to get wild. And it's going to be in public, just like baptism should be. And we're going to serve God in new ways, and we're going to learn a lot about ourselves and about our neighbors. So that is the next thing. So as we begin this year with the baptism of Jesus, we begin every year just like this with baptism. We reflect on how our baptism has shaped us, on the identity that baptism gives us. And we see how that's going to shape the year that we have. And this year, at least what we know so far, is that identity is going to include these relationships with these other folks. People we know, people we like, maybe we've been cordial with, but those relationships are going to get deeper and stronger in this year so that we can be the church, be a public witness to what God is doing here in a new way. Thanks be to God. Amen.